this out. Anthony Davis, what are you doing, dude? CDC on line one.
You watch Sesame Street and you listen to the guys on Sesame Street. It's a children's show.
Oh,
every bracketology is a children's show.
Oh, really?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wonderful days at the bracket. Who do you have coming out of the Transylvanian region? Is it Vlatek?
Oh, my God. I love it. Oscar the Grouch in Denver. Okay. Prove to me, in this show's history, there are many, many prove to me moments. So if you thought they needed to prove to you they could beat the Bucks and Clippers, who they were 0-3 against going into this weekend, here is your Laker proof. LeBron scoring or assisting on 19 points in the fourth quarter, including the final 13. Patrick Beverley on guarding LeBron.
Can you describe the challenge it is defensively when LeBron...
No challenge.
No challenge. Clifton Yates?
No challenge.
You were there all weekend, both games. Do the Lakers just prove to you they're the favorites?
I think most importantly, they proved to themselves that this is something they can do with the current constituents they have on that roster. LeBron to AD is one thing, but when you get a night where a McGee steps up, a Kuzma steps up at the same time, and they manage to get the Bucks, and then last night you have a situation where Rondo and Avery Bradley comes out of nowhere in order to contribute, then you've got the pieces together to think, okay, they can really do this. This isn't just LeBron and a bunch of the non-LeBrons. If you take AD out of that, they've really got some pieces, and they beat two of the best teams in the league on the way to doing it. It's a confidence builder for them as much as it is for the rest of the league, showing or knowing that they can do it as well.
Woody, when someone says they need to prove to you, you've heard that one before on this show. Did the Lakers prove to you they're a contender? The contender?
Well, I'm listening to Clinton and JaVale McGee. And McGee is who I've always gone to when he played here for analytical information. Yes, I think they did. I think Clinton's absolutely right, and he was there courtside. That because of LeBron, because of Anthony Davis, we talk about the pairs that are in the league, in Dallas, and, of course, in Milwaukee, and you go around the league with the Clippers. This is the best pair in pro basketball. When you add Anthony Davis to LeBron James and what they were able to do, nobody's done this in like 20 years where they beat the top two teams in the league of the top three. On the same weekend. I know that's an analytical explanation that we don't really need. But I
really don't think it's analytics. I think that's just the schedule that they beat. But I like where you're going there, especially with that Sesame Street tie. Kevin Blackstone, don't show Archie Miller that tie, Woody.
Well, although JaVale McGee also played here in Washington, D.C., I didn't need to consult him to find out how good this Lakers team is. Well, they surprised us right off the bat this year. We did not think that these two would gel as quickly as they did. We were amazed by how good they were earlier this year. And guess what? Now it's getting to be crunch time. Now it's getting to be real basketball season. Now it's getting to be playoffs. And they are, in fact, looking like the best team in basketball. And why? It's because of what Clinton said. They have something the Bucks, who they beat, don't have. They have a lot of depth. They have a lot of veteran experience. And that's something that you need when the real games get played.
Frank Isola.
Well, they also have the biggest winner, active winner in the NBA, which is LeBron James. And Frank Vogel said it right. This is the best weekend that LeBron has had in a Lakers uniform. Go back to a year ago. The Anthony Davis trade had fallen through. LeBron was dealing with a groin injury, which limited him to 50 games, and also he had alienated his teammates. Think about where he is right now. He's playing as well as any player in the league. The Lakers, right, for my money, are the best team in the league, and he proved it this weekend, Friday against the Bucks, Sunday against the Clippers.
So you're focusing on LeBron, and Clinton and Kevin were focusing more on the non-LeBrons, as Clinton said. That's interesting to me, because everybody was just on LeBron MVP. Like, this weekend shifted the MVP race. Is that the way you see it, Frank Isola?
You know what I really do? I'm going to go back to last Sunday's game against New Orleans when he had the triple-double. But look at the way that he played. He's smart. Not that LeBron doesn't want to win all the time, but he knows who he's going up against the last two games. Giannis and then Kawhi Leonard. And he was better than both in those games, and his team won the game. And I think a big thing, Tony, which a lot of people are focusing on, is his age. The fact that he's 35, and we know when the media gets down to vote, sometimes they like voting for the better story, and LeBron winning, believe it or not, is a better story than Giannis.
So you think that's okay if MVP becomes about who's got the better story?
No, I don't think it is, even though it is fun. Forget the age, because Karl Malone won as a 35-year-old. He's doing this in his 17th season. That's what's impressive. But remember, it's early March. The season ends April 15th. That's what we'll vote on.
Clinton Yates, you wanted to focus on the non-LeBrons, but do you believe the MVP race shifted this weekend?
I don't think it shifted, but I do think LeBron caught up in a way that the voters, as Frank tries to dance around that word we're not allowed to say, take very seriously. Because, look, that is a very important part of this, is what he's done with this team, considering what they've been up against. And if you don't take that into consideration, you're not being real about the history of this award. So I think that he had a lot to catch up to, because Giannis's numbers are so outrageous. And people now can realize maybe this actually is something LeBron deserves based on this.
Woody, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I believe you said it was over 2 weeks ago last week, that LeBron was locked into second. It was already Giannis's award.
Sure, and I told you last week that those people that are on the fence would look at these two games over the weekend, and that might sway them. And so when you've got 101 voters, 22 of them are from this network, they're going to have an impact on what happens. And if Giannis is hurt for a while longer, you know, that would give LeBron an even better chance. You have to realize that over the weekend against Kawhi and against Giannis, he had more than they had combined in points, rebounds, assists, block shots, and steals. I mean, when you're better than the other two guys by yourself, you have to realize that people are shifting. That weight in the final 20 games are going to mean
okay.
Everything.
Okay, is Woody Page shifting that weight after you called the race over? Is Woody Page leaning?
Well, I like older people. You know, and you have to include that into.
All right, okay, all right. And Kevin Blackstone, did the MVP race shift this weekend?
Sure it did. If you go to the videotape from what I said last week, it did shift. Now LeBron James is even further in front of Giannis as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
And you saw that this weekend. Look, this, and forget about his age. I don't care if he's 25. What he just did this weekend against Kawhi, who's an MVP, against Giannis, who's an MVP candidate, against two teams that some people have picked going to the finals, that says enough. He can do this on any given night. And let's not forget, he stepped up also to try and guard Giannis. I mean, that's what a great player does. So he is great anytime in his career.
Nobody wants to make the argument of Giannis's value. We're seeing it right now. He's out of the lineup. And the Bucks led up 140 to Phoenix. Does that not prove value to you, Frank Isola?
It absolutely does. And let's remember, with all due respect to Chris Middleton, that's the Bucks' second-best player. The Lakers' best player is Anthony Davis. That's a whole different ballgame. And to LeBron's credit, he's made him better, but having Anthony Davis as your sidekick helps you a lot.
I feel like you guys are trying to play both sides of the table here. You're telling me that LeBron, the other LeBrons on the Lakers, Anthony Davis, first and foremost, and everyone else, is really raising their level of play. And then we talk about the Bucks, and you're telling me Giannis has nobody around him. And doesn't that prove that Giannis is the most valuable player? Go ahead, Clint Yates.
I've told you from the beginning, the goal for LeBron is to be the MVP of the Lakers so he can be the MVP of the finals. That doesn't mean that what Giannis does isn't of more value to the Bucks in this particular scenario or that team itself.
Just going to say, you're talking about Anthony Davis. He's going to take some of those MVP votes away from LeBron. That's why I still go with Giannis. In regard to Giannis, with this injury, you got to be very careful with him going forward, though. They're not going to win 70 games. They better be concerned about getting him healthy
in
the last four.
That happened feet away from where you were, Clinton Yates, when you saw him go down. What were you thinking?
It was scary. It was a jump out of your seat moment because of the way he sort of buckled on his knee and he popped up really quickly. And I thought to myself, if this wasn't this game, he'd probably sit out the rest of this game. And if I see anything in him, I would definitely have him on the bench if I were the
Maybe Patrick Beverley should be the final MVP vote and he can tip it either way because, you know, it's not a challenge at all to cover LeBron James. Not at all.
Not at all.
I love Beverley. I love that he would say that. We all know he doesn't. That's not the case. And I wonder what LeBron thinks hearing that. We're going to move on now. The BNP Paribas Open. It bills itself as the biggest tennis tournament in the world outside the Grand Slam. And hours before first serve, it became the first major North American sports event to be canceled for coronavirus. Meanwhile, public health officials in Santa Clara County, last week they recommended the San Jose Sharks cancel their home games. The Sharks politely declined that option. The NHL taking measures to remove media availability in dressing rooms and now only podium access. And you heard maybe LeBron James after Friday night's win over Milwaukee talking about the NBA's at least thought that they could play games in empty arenas. LeBron's politely declining that. So, Woody, how does it all sit with you?
Well, he's going to have to play. I mean, and he's talking about, I play for the fans. There's 18,000 in the building. There's several million around the country that will be watching the game. I think it's quite a possibility that this will happen, and you got to be prepared for it. So they are. They're talking today. The NBA is about exactly what they're going to do, but he needs to stop and think about what he said. That he's playing for the NBA, he's playing for the Lakers, he's playing for the fans. Well, they're fans throughout the country for him. So that was a mistake, I think, to go out and make a statement like that early.
Glenn Yates?
I don't want to go overboard on this, but I've said it before. People listen to LeBron James, and this was flip at best, irresponsible at worst. The bottom line is that if this is what it takes in order to stop what is obviously a global pandemic from spreading, this is what the NBA and LeBron James should do. So for him to be sort of so casual about it, to me, was a little disappointing because it signals to people this isn't that important. It's a pretty big deal across the globe. They're thinking about canceling Olympics, folks. It's a big deal.
Frank Isola?
Yeah, and he was hit with that right after the game. Remember, LeBron James was a load management guy in the past, not playing in games for the fans. I think LeBron, this is all about rebuilding his image after what happened last season and putting it out there, hey, I'm all for the fans, but come on. The Lakers pay his salary, and to Woody's point, if you're playing games, you're going to be playing games for people on TV, not just the 18,000 in the building.
Kevin Blackstone.
And I'm sure you all saw what Ronaldo did this weekend, right? When he got off the bus and he started shaking imaginary people's hands and he goes out as one of the biggest stars in sports on the planet, if not the biggest, and played before empty stands. So if Ronaldo's doing that, LeBron will wind up doing that.
Kevin Blackstone, can I ask for Professor Kevin Blackstone to clock in here, professor of journalism at Maryland, when you hear a league saying, you know what, the media availability, we need to change that, as the NHL is doing, how did that strike you?
Well, I mean, I think it's an overreaction, but, you know, you hear people talk about the dangers of this and how freaked out people are, and so I think you have to err on the side of caution, and I can understand that. There's other ways we can get our news rather than a press availability.
I say again, Anthony Davis. He went to the mouth, and then he went to the high fives. I mean, what are you doing? CDC watching that, and then they're also watching the beer snake at the football game. They got to be shaking their head. Like, that's
God bless Audi Field.
Okay, and yes, the commissioner of the XFL was there doing it too, but we don't need to be passing saliva that way.
No.
By ourselves next.
And this kid went to Stanford.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Maybe it's psychology, maybe it's reverse psychology, maybe it's double secret reverse psychology. The report about this NFL CBA proposal that some owners want a no from players so they can go in harder negotiations next time, break the players and get what they really want, an 18-game season. Clinton Yates, how does that strike you?
It strikes me as grimy, but certainly unsurprising from an NFL owners group that's known to do whatever they can because they know their labor force is so replaceable. They dangled out some extra money for extra games, and everybody bid on it and said, hey, I'd take that kind of cash. And so now, by negotiating and saying, well, how about more money for two more games, doesn't surprise me at all, even though that's not exactly the fun way to do it.
Woody Page?
That's not a tactic. It's a threat. I mean, they're greedy. Okay. They're not greedy enough. They want now 18 games instead of 17. What are you talking about? These are a few owners that didn't vote for it to begin with, thinking they didn't get enough. And the players are going to vote, and they're going to pass this, and those owners are going to be stuck.
Well, the idea, though, that it's a scare tactic, isn't that a possible thing, Kevin Blackstone? Doesn't that happen in negotiations, a scare tactic like this, to kind of force the vote to happen?
Yeah, it is a scare tactic. Sure, and I'd like to see him try it, because you want to see no NFL next year? That's the way to do it. Try and force an 18-game schedule down these guys' throat. And Clinton's absolutely right. They dangled some money in front of the most vulnerable guys, the guys who have the shortest window and would reap the most benefit. But this is about the league going forward as far as the Players right. Association is concerned. And they need more out
Frank,
of this.
Frank, when you hear that some owners want to know, do you think that means this is a deal players should take?
No, I think they're going to take it, and I do think it's a scare tactic. But for me, you can't be an owner and sit there and talk about players' health and well-being and want them to play 18 games. Come on now. 18 games, 3 or 4 playoff games? That's ridiculous at this point.
We move on. My favorite story in the show, I believe we teased this earlier, Archie Miller on the bubble with Indiana. And when you're on the bubble, you do silly things.
You watch Sesame Street and you listen to the guys on Sesame Street, it's a children's show. Every bracketology is a children's show. But when you start to go through the bracketology and you listen to the Sesame Street cartoon guys on TV who need people to click and do all their stuff, the bottom line is strength of record. When I was in the Atlantic 10, Joe Lunardi was my best friend. He used to help me all the time. When I went to Indiana, he needed to crap on Indiana the other day just so people would watch Sesame Street.
This logic.
All right, Woody Page, I love your tie. I've already said it. Oh, I love your tie. Is it fair critique from a bubble coach?
No, not at all. Speaking of cartoon or comic strip characters, this Archie is a jughead. You don't go after Sesame Street, an institution for 50 years in this country to all the kids. What he should be concentrated on is promoting his own program. He should have had his media people bring the reasons why they should be included in the NCAA tournament, not picking on Big Bird and Kooky.
Yes, of course. But he did bring out their resume and all the quality wins they have this year. They also have quality losses, Kevin Blackstone, and many losses.
Yeah, well, and that's the whole point. I mean, bracketology is the early basis off of strength of schedule and all these other things. These aren't just comedic things that they come up with, and all the money I spent at Sesame Place over the years, I know that's
all right, thank you very much, Frank Isola. Fair critique from a bubble coach?
No, and Woody brought up the word promotion. That's what Joe Lunardi and people like him are doing. They're helping to promote the sport. Fans like this stuff. And if you're Archie Miller, worry about the fact that you lost twice to Purdue as opposed to picking a fight with Joe Lunardi. That's you owe an apology. You forget Sesame Street. You owe an apology to Joe Lunardi.
Exactly. Let me tell you exactly how not to get to Tournament Street. It's by insulting the very people who might actually be watching your game and giving you a chance in this situation. You want to start somewhere? How about finishing in the top 300 and, I don't know, field goal percentage or three-point percentage? Because that's never happened when you were coaching that.
Woo! Clinton Yates coming in hard for Archie. Fire cell 3. What went wrong between the Nets and Kenny Atkinson? Everybody has the idea. It's some certain players, but it also should be said, this is a team right now, the seventh seed. They're going to the playoffs, Frank Isola. This is your account, only on Yes, pre- and post-game. What happened here? Was Atkinson given a raw deal? And who is this team looking at to coach?
He absolutely got a raw deal. Kyrie Irving played in 20 games. They were 8-12 in those games. They're actually better without him. And Kevin Durant had yet to play. I do not agree with making an in-season coaching change for a team that's going to be a playoff team. As for who may be the guy, if it's not Jock Vaughn, I got a name for you. How about Tim Duncan? Remember when the Pacers hired Larry Bird and put
Tim Duncan,
staff, Dick Carter, Rick Carlisle around him? Why not? Sean Marks knows Tim Duncan, played with him, worked
with
him.
Well, it comes down to all these personalities, right? And also, I mean, let's get to the brass tacks here. Do you believe this was ordered by Durant or Irving?
Well, if it wasn't, Tony, here's what I would say. Did they stand there and say, no, 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 we want Kenny Atkinson to be our coach? And if they said that, do you think he'd be coaching today? I think he would.
Glenn Yates, your read on this.
I'm really supposed to believe that Atkinson said, no, I do not want to coach Kevin Durant. No, I do not want to coach Kyrie Irving. Why would you say that this was a mutual parting of ways when everybody knows that's not the case? I like Ty Lue in this position, but I'm not believing what's coming from the Nets kid.
Woody Page.
Yes. You got a guy that got him in the playoffs last year. He's going to get him in again this year, and he's going to have no chance whatsoever. They better go find somebody. It better not be Tim Duncan, who hasn't coached but one game this season. But they better find somebody that both Kyrie and Kevin Durant really like.
Kevin Blackstone.
That's what it's all about.
Well, I'll just say this. Based on what Kenny Atkinson has done in Brooklyn, this seems extremely unfair. But this is a players' league, and if Kevin Durant went in there and flashed his MVP and his championship rings in the owner's face and said, I have somebody else in mind, you might want to have to listen.
It's going to be a busy summer to see who's going to be coaching Kyrie Irving again and Kevin Durant. Woody Page, love the tie. Love the tie, Woodrow. Kevin Blackiston also taking a seat. Gates Isolin showdown. Hey, Frank, I saw you were covering the She Believes Cup this weekend. USA over Spain at Red Bull Arena. Saw that.
Spain was good. The competition's getting better. Not bad.
We'll be back. Showdown next.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
With thousands of locally owned Napa stores across the nation, chances are that wherever you call home, we do too. So as America starts opening back up for business, and as more of us start getting back out there again, we'll be in big cities, small towns, and everywhere in between, doing what we've always done to help keep our local communities moving forward. So whether you stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, Auto Care Center, or visit us at Napa Online, you can count on Napa know-how.
Hornets TV loved Harden's quadruple double Saturday. Rockets, another double digit loss on Sunday to the Magic. D'Antoni says they've hit rock bottom. Clinton, has small ball hit rocket bottom?
Absolutely. Getting banged out by the Hornets and then by the Magic on your home court. You can't have that. It's not just a small ball. They're playing too many guys. This looks like yet another D'Antoni team tired at the end of the
rock bottom would come tomorrow if they lose to Minnesota. But when you woke up this morning, Tony, Oklahoma City, which traded Russell Westbrook for Chris Paul, has 40 wins. Houston, 39. Not bad for OKC.
Okay, we're talking about Houston here. There's always another rock bottom. We'll move on. XFL took 5 weeks. They have a refereeing controversy. Have they finally arrived? They have a refereeing controversy. Frank, what do you think of the way this game shook out? Look at these 3 seconds, 2 seconds remaining, and they never played them out.
Well, they made a huge mistake, just like you're making a mistake with the scoring. The difference is they admitted that they made a mistake. So let's give the XFL a little bit of credit here. Not bad for a new league.
Okay.
Clearly, there's always another rock bottom, as Frank just indicated. But what do you have all these cameras for and all these mics on all the referees if you're not even going to get the calls
exactly
right at the end of the game?
Exactly.
XFL, come on.
You have a sky judge. They have a three-point extra point, Frank. This was a one-possession game, that nine-point game.
You're making a mistake, just like them.
We all make mistakes. But Clinton Yates gets 30 seconds of FaceTime.
I'd like to call some attention to the case of a man named Jonathan Irons. He is in prison in Jefferson City, Missouri, and he is the person who Maya Moore, the Minnesota Lynx player and basketball god, has been working the last 2 years to get his sentence overturned. It has actually happened. Why this is important is because Maya didn't just jump out as a celebrity and say, get this guy out of prison. She educated herself on what this system is in this country. In order to educate you, Maya Moore has made an incredible sacrifice for one man, and it just might work. Incredible work out of her.
It's absolutely breathtaking. It really is. Being the change you want to see in the world in the pursuit of justice. Thank you, Maya Moore. We'll see you tomorrow.